Raised Rowdy.
Hi.
Hello.
I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
And this is Brian Frazier.
Hold on, let me get a slow clap going.
Oh my gosh. Ooh. You guys are too kind. Too kind.
Yeah, you're probably right.
Brian in classic artist fashion showed up 5 minutes late.
Yeah, just five.
Yeah, not
10,
too bad.
Not 20.
Not an hour.
Not Alex Maxwell.
Yeah.
Or Axl Rose.
I'm funny because I'm like, want to be there early, but that's what makes me low key. If I'm like rushed, then I'm like all stressed out.
Yeah.
Whereas like if I am early, then I'm just even tempered mood.
I'm usually early, but again, I'm going to blame Chipotle on this one.
Gosh, always Chipotle.
But that's an artist thing. You're like, ooh.
Chipotle.
Catering wasn't ready.
Yeah. So. I don't know what that's like.
It's good. It's a nice life. It's always ready, and it's always good.
Oh, catering. Mm. Well, bro, thanks for coming on the pod.
Thanks for having me back. I don't think I've ever been on this one.
Though. No.
You've not been on this pod.
Matt Burrell's in the round when he was at his house. So yeah, thank you for having me in the official...
Studio.
The humble abode of Raised Rowdy.
Yeah, it's luxurious here, and it's amazing. Expensive, kind it's of. Amazing. Well, not expensive, but expensive for us, you know?
True.
A little bit.
But look at this table, dude.
So, it's made of wood.
Thick mahogany wood.
Well, it's pine.
Smells of rich pine.
But it is cooler than the camping chairs we used to be in.
Mm. You know? Yeah, I always was sitting like weird, I feel like. You'd be like, I could do it. Backyard.
Like sit crooked. It feels good sitting crooked on them sometimes, but not that good.
Better than the house.
Yeah.
Real.
Not the best, but better than the house.
Raised Rowdy.
Yeah.
Making it.
Yeah.
Doing big things.
Working towards it.
Yeah.
Well, dude, let's talk about music. So
yes. That's what I like.
That's what we're here for.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've been dropping music. When did you start dropping music?
I'd say 2015.
15
is when. I mean, I dropped some singles. Did not know what I was doing went. I'm from Virginia originally, so I recorded two singles in D.C. when I didn't know what the heck I was doing.
Yeah,
and they're okay, but I'd say professionally, like 2015 is when I started dropping the real stuff. That is me. Where you'd be like, that's a Brian Frazier song.
Yeah,
the rest were just songs about Virginia.
Yeah,
yeah.
You're like, I like Virginia.
I love the Blue Ridge.
It is nice over there.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful. You can't go wrong with the Shenandoah.
No, valley. Baby. The valley.
The sunrise.
Yeah, or the band Shenandoah also.
But yeah, music's been good. Just putting it out. Trying to put out as much as we can, but you know, it costs money.
Money and stuff.
That's the money.
What's the deal with that?
I don't understand. Why can't everyone just do it for free?
No. Nah.
People ask me to do stuff for free, and I'm like... Nah, not into that. That's I'm like, hard. Give me a lot of money, I'll do it.
Yeah, more than none's my favorite.
I can't force myself. Like, even when people help me out, I still have to pay. I just am not the guy. I feel like, you know, Music City's a lot of trying to get free stuff.
Yeah, like Kurt working for this. For free.
Yeah. Thank you, brother.
Well, yes. But there is some stuff I'll do for free. You know, like if Scott Sapp was like, hey, will you come play a show with me like in town? I'd be like, all right, I'll do that.
And who's not going to?
Tremonti.
You're not going to not.
Tremonti won't, yeah.
Tremonti's like, no, thanks.
Scott Stapp, Brian Frazier ask. Same thing.
Yeah.
I'm going
to
do it.
So when did you get to town, Nashville?
It was November 22nd, 2014.
Dang.
I remember the day. Everything. Almost 10 years.
What day of the week was it?
It was a Thursday.
I don't believe you. You just made that
I
up.
I swear. No, I remember because Thanksgiving was Saturday, I believe. Does that make sense?
No. Almost, I don't. Maybe. Isn't Thanksgiving always on a Thursday?
Black Friday.
Maybe. I just remember the weekend. I moved here, got the U-Haul, drove down with my dad, then spent a day moving in, and then flew back to get my car, and it was Thanksgiving, and then came down here, and then the rest is history.
You were just a little baby boy then.
A little baby boy living in a crappy apartment.
Yeah,
like everybody, you know, you got to
move. How's your apartment now?
It's way better. I have a yard, actually.
Sick.
Got no neighbors on top of me with dogs going pow, 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 pow. But I feel like everyone who moves to Nashville, you got to live in that crappy apartment.
Yeah.
Like, I don't trust you. You move here and you got the mansion. Like, you need to have weird neighbors and go through a bunch of weird stuff for like a year or two.
Yep.
Yeah, if you don't hear a few gunshots, are you really living in Nashville?
Yeah.
You know? Or more specifically, East Nashville.
Yeah. Ooh, the luxurious
shout
establishment.
Out Antioch. Shout out Bell Road.
I remember like Matt being like, "Did you hear those gunshots last night?" And I was like, "No, dude, my room doesn't have any windows." I was like, "I didn't hear anything."
Dude, yeah, you. I don't know how you can live in a room without windows.
It was awesome for sleeping.
You lived in a jail?
I just lived in what was considered an office with Job when I moved in with Job.
Yeah.
He's like, "Here's the room." I'm like, "Oh, sick." There's like a closet that's this big and then no windows. So, like, you know, if it lit on fire, I'm definitely dying.
I find it funny how everyone has these weird living situations when they move here. Everyone. Yeah. There's not one person that's like, it's a normal living situation.
Yeah, unless you, like, come here with a bunch of money.
Yeah, you know? That too.
If you're like, hey, I sold my house wherever I was from, and now I've bought a house here. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
And I get that. But Yeah, but it's been good. 2014 seems like it's been a flash in the pan because it's just, it goes so quick. It's like, you know, you start looking back and you're like, damn. All those, a lot of good times though, early on too. I wouldn't trade them for anything.
Oh, yeah.
Just trying to make friends, meeting you guys.
Being complete degenerates before you, like, tried to grow up.
Before anything. Yeah, you're kind of in this weird stage before you're an adult, but you are an adult.
Yeah.
And you're in music too. So you're like, guess I can go out every night and it's not the worst thing. I mean, we've calmed down now. We don't go to Red Door every night, but you remember the days when you're like, and that was when Whiskey Jam was only one night. It was Monday. So Monday was the only time you really were getting it.
Yeah. It Dude, that's like when I moved here. Even I was, you know, 39.
Shout out
39, and I still like lived like a college kid for like a year.
Yeah,
you know, like I'm like, oh, let's go out every single time I can possibly go out. But that's part of, they call it like the classes here. Yeah. But that's like everybody that moves to town's looking for friends at the same time.
Mm-hmm.
We kind of had a cheat code because I knew people.
Yeah,
you know,
it was a little easier for you.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah. Because I did not know one single soul. I remember sitting in my apartment for 6 months, being like, "What did I do?" I had so many friends back home.
Yeah.
You're just kind of looking at yourself like, "Did I make the right choice?" And then finally, you start just making friends. And I mean, I have some of the best friends I wouldn't trade the world for. Like when I got married. Like, I had a separate table of all my Nashville people. It's like, you have your high school friends, your college buddies, and then you have that Nashville table. And that to me, is the most unique thing. Like, the music, we came here for music. Music's always the start of it all. But the friendships you have, like, I got friends forever that are my best friends just off of moving here. And you never thought you would have them. Like, people kept saying, like, oh, you'll get your class, you'll get your friends. And you're like, oh, really?
Well,
it does happen, though.
Yeah.
You got that crew. No hits. Shout out No Hits.
Yeah. No, it definitely happens. And I mean, it develops over time, too. Like, you'll bring in people, or sometimes people will move away or kind of, like, leave the scene. But it develops. I remember, like, when I, like, before I moved here, I was chatting with Matt, and he was like, I kind of, like, have, like, a new friend group. Is that bad? And I was like, no, dude. Like, you're just figuring out the people that you like, you know? Like, I was like, that's how it works sometimes.
There's a lot of people, too. Some you're like, I don't want to hang out with you. I shouldn't be around. And some you're like, you're my boy.
Yeah.
You know it really quick, though.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Or you're like, hey, I was doing this thing in life, and now I'm not doing as much of that thing. Yeah. So it's like, it changes.
I remember the first time I met you. You came down, and we had a Ryan Nielsen fire show.
Oh, yeah.
But it was just me, you, and Ryan.
Yeah.
Sounds awesome.
Yeah.
It was pretty awesome.
We got down. That was our first bonding experience.
Burning pallets.
Yes.
And then when you played with Maxwell at Club Cafe.
Oh, yeah, Southside.
And I was super drunk.
Yeah,
and then
you.
I stole your Primanti sandwich.
Yeah, that's when I knew we were best friends. We went to Primanti Brothers after a show.
Is this in Pittsburgh?
Yeah.
We were a little lit. And
I was a lot of lit. You guys were performing.
Yeah.
I was not.
Yeah, I was sober until after the performance. Yeah. And then we went and had Primanti Brothers, and we're hanging, and it's like 1 or 2 o'clock. He eats half my sandwich and then he just vanishes. And I'm like, I think we're best friends.
You're like, that guy's either a complete a-hole or he loves me.
Yeah. I did that one time, and it was after a radio show. I was hammered walking out of a venue, and there was a stagehand with a hamburger. I'm like, can I get a bite of that? And allegedly, this is what happened. I don't remember this part. And apparently, my tour manager at the time said, that he was like, no, man, this is my dinner. And I just grabbed his hamburger and took a bite of it and put it back on his plate and walked out.
So this is a reoccurring theme with you guys. I'm coming for both of y'all.
Well, I don't remember, so it doesn't count. So
yeah, if we're ever at a restaurant, you can take my whole sandwich, dude.
I deserve it.
I would just want
to. If we're going to Chipotle after this.
If we're ever at a Chili's, I'm taking all your chicken fingers.
Yeah. But your hands will get all dirty because you'll have to snatch them. Mm. You know?
Shout out Chili's.
Shout out Chili's. We love you.
We're just continuously trying to get sponsorships. Chili's.
Chili's. Oh, my. Put Chili's in the algorithm.
Surfside iced tea and vodka. Yeah. Cheers.
Were there? Crown Heads, too, you know?
Yes.
No free ads.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's also, like, just to go back to, like, the friends thing, it's, like, you definitely, like, meet those people in town, and some of which are, like, your, like, actual friends. But then you got, like, your, like, Red Door people that you're, like, that's, you know, you drink with, you know?
Yeah, you're drinking buddies.
Yeah.
You're right. There are certain levels. Yeah. Because it's, like, you're not best friends with them, but you know them. Especially the music industry. You're like, hey, what's up, man? A lot of hey, what's ups.
Yeah.
At Red Door. But you know them, but you don't.
Yeah, you don't know their life.
You had your real boys.
Yeah. You don't know who their wife is and how much she gets mad Holly. At you when you have so much fun.
Shout out Holly.
Yeah.
Holly, you're the best. We love you.
Thank you for letting me do everything. Thank you for supporting Raise Rowdy.
We need to do content with Holly where she just tells people how to be a good wife to an artist.
True.
My wife has been.
My wife.
That's very much. Yeah, she's the biggest supporter. She lets me do whatever I want, really.
But she still reels you in some.
But she's good at like knowing the line of being like, hey, calm it down right now. We need to do this. We need to do that.
All
right. Perfect little manager on the side. I don't have a manager, so she's kind of the manager there.
I'm your manager in Key West. You are?
Yeah, specifically on an island.
Yeah. Only at the beach.
It's coming up.
Yeah. If I get your record deal in Key West, then I get my percent, dude. That's how
I told you, 720 deal.
Yeah.
I think I already signed it.
Yeah.
It's a 720. Wait, I want a percentage, please.
You're not going to be in Key West.
You want to cut?
I know, but I. Please.
You can have a cut.
All right. We'll give him 10% of
been around enough.
Yeah.
He's in the room.
We went to that Nickelback show together.
Yeah, we did. That was fun. Yeah. Nickelback Hardy. That was good. We wore our jerseys.
Yeah.
Had our jerseys. Look at this.
Nickelback jerseys. That also, was nice. Got the watch on. Man.
Oh, you are decked out in Nickelback today.
Trag Kroger.
Does that watch work?
Yeah. It moves. Look.
All right. What time is it say?
It's an hour off. It says 12:02.
All right. Yeah. Okay.
I went
fair enough.
Down a weird Chad Kroger hole the other day.
Whoa, phrasing.
This is definitely this is definitely not stalkerish. I found his house that he used to own. It has an ice skating rink in it.
Does it have a bathroom that you can play baseball in? Right.
It has to. It had a few.
I bet you. Yeah, I bet you.
I was just looking for Avril Lavigne's room, but it wasn't there. Yeah. I don't know.
Maybe it's behind the walls. Yeah,
probably.
Maybe it's that.
She hasn't aged at all, so she must be a vampire. Nah.
True.
Well, word is he died and then came back to life as someone else. But that's a whole nother podcast.
That's the Paul McCartney podcast.
Yeah, we had a podcast kind of like that with Colby the other day, which we'll be releasing soon.
I like it.
Are you getting stoked for Key West, though?
I am so pumped. I love that place so much. Just for you all that don't know, we go down to Songwriters. BMI puts on a huge event called the Key West Songwriters Festival. And all of us kind of songwriters go down there. And it's an adult spring break. Mm-hmm. We get to hobnob with the big wigs. And I come away every year with, it's a great networking. We all laugh and go, oh, we all party and stuff. And we do a certain amount. We play for people. And I come away with certain fans. We've met people down there that still hit me up and they're like pumped to come see you next year. But like every year I come back with one or two people that I just didn't know were in town. And we become best friend co-writers, same type of thing. Like you'd think I'm 9 years in that I know a decent amount of people. And I feel like I do, but like every year there's a random person I come back with that a song comes out of it that just never would have happened without Key West.
Yeah.
And that's another place I've met some of my best friends. That's where I met Mark Oriott.
Yeah.
Like I was playing Booze Tubing, the stupid song we have about drunk tubing. And Mark came out of the woodwork and was like, I love that. Let's write. So he like,
dude,
you can't make that up, man. You can't make that up. That's how it works.
Man. That's the most Mark Oriott shit I've ever heard in my entire. Dude, Booze Tubing, that's great, bro. Yeah,
he popped out of a palm tree and was like, dude.
Tell the Mark Oriott story.
Oh, yeah. So our first year in Key West, when we had you play, and we were like, hey, you were like, let me bring my buddy Mark Oriott with me.
Oh, shit.
And I didn't know Mark before.
Really?
That.
I didn't know that.
Neither
and,
did I.
And we were like, Kurt, we were listening to you guys play. And, you know, Mark was playing all the funny Key West hits, you know? And Kurt was like, dude, if you wrote country music, this guy's songs are the songs that you would write. Well, that's why I wanted you guys back together again, make sure you guys are together.
Oh, it's a vibe. Because
it's like a throwback to the first year in that moment where Kurt was saying that. Kurt had sunburn just here down. The top was completely white, and he said
it was rough, dude. It was rough.
I feel like everyone underestimates the sunburn situation down there.
100%.
Like, Trey Lewis was like, I'm just going to get a base tan, and he went jet skiing around the island with no lotion.
No.
And then almost died, basically.
Yeah. You're just ruining your trip. Yeah,
like, it puts the lotion on its skin.
Yeah.
It does what it's doing.
Or gets the burn again.
Ike's roommate Jerry's coming with us. He's going to sell merch all weekend for us and just be a...
You couldn't get any girls to do it, or what?
No, we're not allowed to have girls around us, dude.
Boys are dude.
Hell yeah.
What do you think Ray's rowdy's about?
Yeah.
I don't know. I don't know.
We're still trying to figure it out.
I think it's memes about Scott Stapp. I think it's Scott Stapp fan.
We don't know what it's turned into, but it's something.
Well, it's one of those things where we had to have a drinking buddy for Ike, you know?
True.
Yeah.
That's true.
Since I'm like not really pounding beers anymore.
Yeah.
We were like, we need a drinking buddy.
Good
for
thing,
Ike.
Though. Everybody's got to calm down a little bit.
And Jerry can fly for free on standby or whatever.
That makes it
so it's like
so affordable.
Yeah, easy.
Have you been to Key West yet?
Oh, yeah.
You have, right?
Yeah, I'm from Florida.
Oh, well, then.
Most hungover I've ever been in my entire life. I woke up and I was in Key West. Ooh. And I looked up and my dad was dressed as a pimp and was with a Bloody Mary with a big piece of turkey hanging out of it. And we were there for like Fantasy Fest.
I've always heard the stories about Fantasy Fest. Yeah.
My buddy Dave, his dad, Andy, is like always trying to get us to go. And we're like, we don't want to go to that. And eventually he was like, let's go. And it's weird. It's it's like a bunch of half naked boomers.
That's what I've heard. I've heard they've had to calm it down because it's just too much people in the streets doing debaucherous things, even for Key West.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's weird, man. It's like, I wish this is how long ago I went. I think I had a Crazer flip phone.
Oh, snap. And
I got my photo taken with every half naked grandma there. And all these old women with their like tits painted and everything.
Yeah,
and I had my photo, not with like hot girls, only with like the old ones. Just, I'm like, may I have my picture with you, please? And they're like, yeah, of course. Come on, honey. And I wish I had that phone somewhere because it was all gold.
And those pictures were like in like 720p. Like, you couldn't hardly. It's like granulated old
like
women.
1.2 megapixel. Yeah. I wish I had that phone, man.
My first digital camera I got my freshman year of college, and it saved to a 3.5-inch floppy disk.
Oh, my gosh.
That's how old I am.
Chocolates, razors.
Oh, yeah. Sidekicks.
I've been trying to figure out how to get it to work with, like, the 5G.
Yeah.
I would pay if you could bring the chocolate back.
Or Sidekick.
Sidekick.
Those Sidekicks were fire. Like, just texting machines.
I don't need all the apps. Just give me...
You had all the buttons?
Give me Snake back.
Yeah.
I need the apps. Yeah. I need them so bad.
I like Uber a lot.
Well, I'd like
Uber Eats?
Yeah.
I'd like to just change back. That's the way you could, like, get off the internet. You're like, sorry, man, I got chocolate.
Gmail.
I'm sorry, man.
What about GPS?
Yeah.
You remember MapQuest?
Oh, yeah.
Print out 20 sheets of paper and then get lost.
I hate printers.
And then you would have to like go back to where you were to like start over.
Yep. You're like, damn it. Took a long left. All right, let me go back to page 6.
All right, let's go back to 48. Crap.
I used to use those to go to concerts in D.C. from where I was at. And I just remember going to like a Howie Day concert. Don't judge me. Howie Day's still cool. I was wearing Birkenstocks. And it was like 20 sheets in and you're like, where are we going? I think we took the wrong turn. And you're like, yeah. Print them out, man.
What's your favorite Howie Day song?
I mean, Collide is always going to be the banger, but I think it was a Gavin DeGraw Howie Day concert. So,
gosh,
couldn't get more White Boy Summertime.
White Boy Summer.
White Boy Summer.
That's a title. Yeah. That's a Mark Oriott title.
I'll go write that with him today.
White Boy Summertime.
It's just a White Boy Summertime.
I love it.
Birkenstocks.
Hey, I need a cut of that too. Make a list.
Kurt will send you some licks.
Kurt's getting all the master cuts. We'll get it. I'll throw you some master on that. Don't worry.
I'll be invited to sing on my Mark Oriott cuts at Songwriters Fest next year.
Play down, bro.
Yeah.
All right. I guess we should talk about your real music.
Hey, yeah, we could if you want. I don't know.
All right.
Bad at promoting. Like ranting.
Well, let's talk about the new single.
Yes.
Let's get that out so we can get a good clip of it.
Love it.
Clip Machine. Please take a clip of this.
Yeah. It's a cold one waiting.
Yeah.
Wrote it with Chris Utley, Jody Stevens, and Jay Brunswick. Yeah, it's one of those that came out. Jay kind of had this title, just Cold One Waiting, and Utley had this cool little just vibey track. We started going on down the road about it. And it comes from a real place because people probably hear the title and I'm like, well, another beer song. All right.
But whoa, like, true, I love me like, a good beer song, though.
That's another thing, though. You can talk a lot of crap, but like, beer songs hit. This one, like, I mean, to me, like, I had this actual true story of my buddy Brian did two tours in Afghanistan. And it was right when we graduated high school. And I was thinking about moving down here. And I just remember when he went away the first time, like, we'd always hang out at his house and we'd have bonfires and stuff. And I legit remember being like, hey, I'll be here when you come back. Like, you know, you're all worried. You don't know. That was in the middle of the Afghanistan war, not to get all serious, but like, you don't know if he's going to come back. And just to get him through it, kind of, we all were like, hey, we'll be here this bonfire will be here when you come back. And that's what, when he said that title, I was like, well, I have a real angle to this, because I said this to my best friend, kind of being like, yo, I'll have a cold one waiting. We'll be here. And to me, that's the realness of the story. And I just played DC at a Pearl Street warehouse a few weeks ago.
Hell yeah.
And
this was
shout out Pearl Street. Loved you. Great venue. Had this this guy come up to me after the show and was just like, hey, we didn't know who you were this morning. We were just checking out the list of Pearl Street, who's playing. Then we checked your music out and I heard that song and I started crying. And this was a guy who he guards embassies now, but he had also done, I think it was like 3 tours, 2 in Afghanistan, 1 in Iraq. And he was like, that song means more to me than you'll ever know. And it was one of those things where you don't realize until you get on the road. And I'm sure, Kurt, you see it with some of these people. Like we can write all these songs and we're like, oh yeah, love it. Like, it has a real story. We play these ride arounds here and people are like, pat on the back, great. But that's like the moments that make it to me. Cause like stuff like that, when a guy willingly bought a ticket to a show, heard me, just found out about me that day and was like, I'm totally in.
Yeah.
And you would listen to that song and be like, oh, just a beer drinking song. Cool. Whoa, all right. But it actually has meaning to some people deeper than you think. And that's what has, for that release, meant a lot to me, just to hear those type of things. Cause those keep you going every day. Like keeps you writing those things. And I'm proud of that song. I love it. It came out well and it's always like going to the next one now. Yeah, that's always the problem with music, though. The moment you get the master back, you're like, what else am I going to do?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think people on the outside see that. You're like just continuously having to push it and build something else. And that next one, what's the next idea that's good and that can hit the same and have realness to it, but still be a good country song.
Yes. Yeah. And honestly, like, I think for an independent artist, you're social promotion is elite.
I just have to annoy people. I tell them, it's like, we'll think of any stupid idea. Like the one of me rolling on the thing. Yeah. I had a buddy send me that clip and was like, hey, you should do this. And so I'm outside with my wife rolling around in my yard, basically.
I always think about behind the scenes version of people those, cutting these memes and stuff.
I really wish there was someone like Trey Bonner filming my wife and I trying to film these TikToks. Yeah. Because like this, if you guys don't know, there's this like clip of this dude, like this EMS people with a stretcher, and they accidentally drop this guy and he rolls. Well, I roll into it in my driveway, basically. And I'm just on my driveway just singing my song. Any way to get people to listen. Yeah. That's the problem. I mean, you know, it's now like, if you don't get people's attention within 5 seconds,
they're gone.
Next reel. Yep. But the funniest thing is my wife, I had to do like 20 of them, because sometimes she doesn't know content. I'm just like, hey, can you film this? Yep. Like, we need this angle, And like, we have a neighborhood where people are walking by all the time with their kids and strollers. So you know these people are just like, what is that guy doing again? He's outside.
He's on the drugs.
Yeah, they probably think I'm on something. I'm just filming a TikTok, ma'am. Please pre-save my song.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's a whole part of it. I just call it annoying people because it is what you got to do when you're an independent artist. It's like, we don't have the money. We don't have the...
Throw it at the wall, see if it sticks.
The stuff we can do. But it has helped. I mean, I don't have like a massive following on TikTok, but I call myself marginally famous on TikTok. Yeah. But it has helped immensely. Like, my streams before TikTok became a thing and after are massive compared to, like, I actually have a fan base.
Yeah.
And I do owe that to TikTok and all the dumb memes that we made.
Yeah.
So, like, because if we didn't have that, it'd still be kind of stuck in this, you know, like, 1,000 monthly listeners a month. Like, you know, like one of those things, which you get stuck in these. The numbers game in this world, I try not to look at it, even that's such, it's such an important part of it.
Yeah.
But, like, it sounds just, like, stupid, but, like, they do matter, but they don't.
Yeah.
Like,
but you got to make the music because you can't imagine not making
it. What I've seen is that they'll just come. The numbers will come.
Yeah.
Don't come.
Yeah.
Don't come.
I'm going to come.
Oh, shit.
Oh, boy.
But, and like, it with Spotify and a lot of those other things, it's like I've had songs not get on big playlists, and then 6 months later, the algorithmic playlist because people like them, like Put Me in a Bar, never got on anything.
Yep.
And that's one of my most streamed songs just because people started adding to the playlist. Then I've like Faded got on the all genre.
Like, yeah, let's talk about that for a minute.
That was wild. So I put Faded out. It's more of Faded. It's more of a, you know,
divorced dad rock.
2000 rock, divorced dad rock with some country lyrics, that type of vibe. And I definitely was like sketched out being like, is this going to be received badly? Like, are people going to hate me for just putting out something that's a little different?
Yeah.
But it was probably the best decision I ever made because it was different.
Yeah.
And ended up like, I mean, the first 2 weeks I was like, damn. Thing's only got like 5,000 streams, and that's the numbers thing where you shouldn't be looking at it too much because if the song's good, it'll find its place. I believe that. But like 2 weeks later, I'm just sitting at Chipotle looking.
Brian Frazier.
Shout out! I'm always at Chipotle.
Always
Chipotle in Charlotte. But sitting there checking the Spotify app for the artist, and then I'm like looking. I'm like, holy shit, why is there 300 people listening to me right now? And I'm like, I'm just going through, and I text Alex Maxwell. I'm like, what's the deal with this? And he goes, yo, dude, you made all genre Fresh Finds. So I was like on the biggest Fresh Finds playlist there is, not even country related.
Yeah.
And it was just with me and then all these LA like big pop people.
Yeah.
Most of the people who had record deals. And then little old Brian Frazier from Nashville, Tennessee, just hanging out. But it was a cool experience just to see. You kind of get addicted, and I think Spotify knows that.
Yeah.
You're like, all right, cheers. Thank you, brother.
Yeah.
So that it was a big moment, and I got some phone calls from some people in the industry that I've never gotten before. So it was cool to kind of people being like, "Who is this kid?"
Yeah,
I've been here forever. It's like you just keep doing it, and to get validation at least from someone being like, "Yo, that's pretty cool. What are you doing?" And like,
yeah,
I've put out the more country stuff and never gotten any phone calls or anything. So, and again, I was worried, and I was like, "I made a bad decision. I shouldn't have put this song out."
Yeah,
and that'll always make me. Now, like, gut feeling, it's true. Just go with your gut.
Yeah.
Like, if there's any younger artists out there, like, if you know the song's good and you like it and it's you, I would put it out.
Yeah.
And because, again, for 2 weeks before that got on that playlist, I was like, man, this sucks. This is going to be just a dumb song buried in my stuff. And now it's become, like, a crowd favorite in the weirdest way possible. Because even in D.C., like, I played it and people loved it. Like, it oddly fits in between a lot of my country songs.
Yeah.
Because it is a country song. It's a song about leaving. I mean, like anything. But a lot of those Nickelback songs, as we're starting to see, are country songs.
Oh, yeah.
So.
I mean, the rock scene is heavily in the country world now.
Yeah, it's definitely kind of just cross streams now, and it's become
crossfaded.
Yeah.
Crossfade. Back at me.
But also, let's talk about Dan BNA.
Yeah.
Because was that like your first song that got like pretty big playlist?
Yeah, that probably was, honestly. And Dan BNA is just a song that I got that title off of this girl that we know was just at the airport. And I guess there was a very long line at TSA. And she just shared Dan BNA. Like she was like, Dan BNA. Ah, this is a stupid airport. And as songwriters, you're just always looking for titles that are weird. I'm a big airport aviation nerd. I like airports.
Yeah, you're a
nerd. And I literally just had that title and I wrote it down. I'm like, would love to write a leaving song about this. And I just didn't know how. And shout out Mark Oriette. We keep bringing Mark up. I brought it to Mark and we had three writes that Mark was just like, I don't know. I don't know how we could do it. And why would anyone care? Because no one knows BNA. Like, it's so specific.
Yeah.
And I just kept kind of hammering it. And then one day we wrote it with like in an hour, me, Eli Locke, and Mark Oriette. And it's kind of become one of my signature songs.
Yeah.
Because I think because it's so specific, it like goes to the masses almost.
Yeah.
Because even at shows, people are like, I can't believe you wrote like an airport call sign song.
Yeah.
And then once they hear it, they're like, damn, that's pretty cool. And the TikToks for that, though, when that came out, we were going to Key West, actually. And I was on a Delta flight because the chorus is like, damn that Delta plane, 30,000 feet. So I was like in the middle. We're literally on this Delta flight. I think you were on it.
Yeah.
Well, you didn't watch me do this. I got up to go to the bathroom. And I was like, I'm going to film a TikTok right next to the bathroom. And so like I'm in the back of this Delta plane like doing this. And this stewardess comes flying up thinking like 9/11. And I'm like, no, no, no. I had to explain to her. I went on a rant real quickly. I'm like, hey, no, no, no. I just have this song called Dan BNA. It's about Delta, this. And she just looks at me and goes, just go back to your seat.
These like, cool. Damn kids and their ticky talking.
Basically, it was like, middle of 2021. And she's like so defeated. She's like, I just got to serve drinks. I thought you were doing something sketchy. I'm like, I just have a song. Sorry, I'm stupid.
You're like, I have a song and I kind of have to pee.
Yeah, kind of. So you think of the links, you're just like trying to get it. But I love that song. It means a lot to me. I think it's one of the better productions too. Shout out Alex Maxwell. I love the vibe, and it's one of the songs that stayed around, and that didn't have much promotion either, but it's a favorite for me to do live. And oddly, the marketing plan for it has turned out, didn't know it, but people just start tagging me anytime their flights get canceled.
Yeah, or delayed.
At all, or delayed, yep. And stuff. And we've played it at B&A.
Yeah.
Mark and I have gotten to play some Bluebird stuff and different things. And you can tell the airport people don't know how to take it at first. They're kind of just like, because it says damn B&A, and they're thinking I'm talking crap. I'm like,
yeah.
Nah, man, we love this. It's about that girl leaving that airport.
Yeah.
But it's just funny. Back to the crazy TikTok stuff. But that was, that's one of my favorite first songs that kind of started resonating,
yeah.
I'd say, where people were like, oh, this is a Brian Fraser song.
It kind of took a life of its own.
That you wouldn't even understand. Like, I didn't think that. I was like, another thing, like, I knew it was a cool song. I liked it, but you don't know where it's going to go once it's out in the world.
No, and that's, like, in my head, one of the cool things about music is, like, the Hayley Witters clap clap. Like,
yeah, you think she knew that was going to happen?
I was there. I worked at the record label.
Oh, really?
They had no idea that was going to happen.
You're like,
but it started happening, and then they capitalized on it, you know? That's the difference between having a team and not, is like, how much can you push behind something once it does start taking
off?
Yes. It's hard to create the takeoff. It's not impossible, but it's hard. But once that organically starts happening, how do you get to grow it? Right. And that's kind of what you'll see, like, labels or big managers or PR companies, stuff like that do.
Yeah. I think that is why, like, everyone talks crap on, like, oh, I wouldn't sign a label. It's like, what they do now is blow up what already is doing well.
Yeah.
Like, you know, and it's always a help when a song could hit, you're like, well, we can really blow this up for you.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. I mean, if you have $5,000 to put behind every YouTube video that have, you'll get more eyes on
you
them.
Will. Yeah. 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 Yeah.
That works.
Yeah, I don't think most people understand the amount of money being spent on marketing.
Well,
and radio.
Mm-hmm. Oh, I was watching a clip on TikTok of Kanye West saying talking about Drake and saying Drake has a baby daddy.
Oh, yeah, I heard about this.
And
it's
just him saying that the label's pumping money into it. Well, that's how it works.
Yeah, that's how it's always been.
If you're pushing your radio people to push a specific song to radio, and they're using all of their effort to do that, you have a better chance of going number one, right?
Yeah.
If you do the same thing, if you're pushing influencers on TikTok to promote a song that you have, it's going to get more eyes on it. You know, you can do it through feeding the dollars directly to the system, or you can do it by paying every TikTok influencer $150 to use that sound in their clip. You know,
it's a wild world.
It is, but that's how it works.
It's 100% right now. You know? Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And there's independent artists doing that. There's label artists doing it. It's just knowing how it works and what to do. You know, it's a strange thing, but you can't get mad at people for using the resources they have either.
Dollar bill, y'all.
That's how it works. You know,
I can't get mad. I mean,
no.
And again, like, back to the, like, if it's a good song, it'll go somewhere.
That's exactly
it. You can't
push a turd up the hill. You can, but it won't go the whole way up.
I've been in town long enough. Yeah, you can. That's exactly. Like,
I'm biting my tongue here. I'm not going to say anything. There's been some turds pushed.
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that happened back in pre-TikTok.
Phrasing. Yeah.
Phrasing again.
Oh, man. That's why I got the Surfside Zenia, so you guys talking about pushing the turds up there.
Yeah.
Start biting our tongues when the turds come out.
Oh.
When the turds come out, everybody's singing.
Oh, man. Well, what are you, like, if you're talking about marketing, so I think that, I mean, of course, we have the Butt Rock account, which you destroy and are awesome at, but I'm talking specifically for, like, your stuff. What is some advice you would give to an independent artist in doing that?
I would like to chime in real quick.
Yeah.
Because one thing I think that Brian does well with his marketing that I think other people could do well is that you're trying to get something out of people, right? You want them to listen to your music. But Brian, I think what you do well is also you provide something to your followers in a way where it's like, it's not like, hey, listen to my song. You know, it's like you add something funny. So it's like, okay, if you give me something funny, I'll let your song title live in my brain for a second. It's like a kind of give and take.
100%, because there's so many people that not everyone's good at doing all that internet stuff, and I get it, but there is this, like, boring, like, just churning of, like, hey, please pre-save my song, thank you, it's on the 25th.
Yeah.
And it's like, that's not how the modern days, it's just not working that way. And like giving something someone, they're still an audience that you're just trying to trying to get them involved to where they're like, I like this guy. And it's more like the music's there, but I want them to like me as a person too and be like, yo, I'd hang out with that guy. Well, I'll go to a show. That song sounds pretty cool too.
Yep.
Like the it sucks sometimes because you're like, yeah, the song's not exactly the focal point right off the bat. But I take that, that's a huge compliment because you see it more so being around a lot of these artists and different things and seeing the marketing plans. And again, mine's just me. I have no one helping, nothing. It's always been, up to this point, it has been strictly Brian Frazier, just up a hill.
Yeah.
Just trying to grind and get you to be a Brian Frazier fan.
Yeah.
You know?
But I think that's a good point too, for sure.
Providing like, something.
Yeah. What's the value you're providing when you're doing your content?
Yeah. You can't.
Your stuff's funny.
Forcing. Yeah. And no one listens. And they still, even with the content I have, it's not like everyone listens or they're doing like massive numbers, but they get enough to where they get out there. And people like you and different people, like there'll be random people that just follow me from these reels that are like, this is cool. I'll stop. Yeah. And it's hard in this world because it is so much content.
Yeah.
To get someone to stop and actually care is hard.
That's hard.
The biggest like thing to try to get to do, but it's a crazy world.
Yeah.
We care, Brian.
Thank you. I appreciate it. You always have.
Fade hair.
It's in your head though.
Yes.
It works.
It is.
It works.
It works so good.
Yeah. Thank you.
Can we talk about Butt Rock?
I think we have to.
We should probably do that.
Yeah,
right?
We definitely gotta touch on the Butt Rock Night.
So Butt Rock Night. Let's talk about the origins of that.
Butt Rock Night. So
let's go into Butt Rock lore.
Let's go faded Butt Rock lore coming to you straight from the studio. So Butt Rock Night started as just a thing. We all grew up loving 2000s, 90s rock.
Yep.
That was a thing. And we were actually, this always goes back to Key West somehow. It's funny how this works. We're on a flight to Key West and we have a stopover in Atlanta. Me, you, Dean Pierficato, and Mikey.
Yep.
We're sitting there and we're all sitting there going,
too.
Tim Burrell.
Scott Stapp was there.
Yeah. Scott Stapp was in his private jet waving at us.
Scott Stapp's cousin, who we didn't know was Scott Stapp's cousin.
Maybe. And then he starts, we just start kind of saying like, well, we love all this. Why don't we just put a night on where we just professionally get players like Mikey and Dean and get a band together and we play all these songs and get all our artist friends to sing them.
Yep.
All these songs like Nickelback, Creed, Crossfade, just all the hits from the 2000s that we grew up loving. And it has turned into a way bigger monster than I could ever have imagined because it turns out everyone loves those songs. And once you hit a key thing where people are like, holy crap. And the first night was such a big success. I was just laughing the whole time.
Everyone was.
I mean,
that's the best part about it.
Had what, 20, 25 artists play, two different bands come through. And it was just like everyone, there was no competition. Like there's a lot of competition in Nashville at a lot of these places. But like there wasn't, and it was just fun. It was almost professional karaoke with your best friends.
Yeah.
And then it's turned into this big thing of just like the whole genre of rock from 2000s has had a renaissance.
Back. Yeah.
And I'm really good at making memes.
You are.
And that just kind of crossed between. And it's just, I was making memes like this, like these Creed memes that are on the Butt Rock Night page, 2014, 15, like when I moved here, because I always loved it, but that stuff was just on the back burner. No one would laugh at it except Jordan Hobson, a couple of my friends.
I can
look back at my phone and find these like ridiculous Creed memes. Yeah. But then they just, it's like one of those things where you just wait long enough, it becomes cool again.
Yeah.
And you're like, wait a minute, I've been doing this the whole time. So it just took off. And
I remember when we were like, should we start like a page for this? And I was like, I mean, I'm down if you are, and you're like, yeah, I can make memes for this thing. Like, I'll do it already, you know?
It's funny to see an actual account go from, like, 200 followers to what we've gathered now. I think it's almost, we're at 86,000
so
followers. We're going to have a party when it hits 100K.
Yeah.
It's going to be the greatest Butt Rock party on night.
We need to figure out our next Butt Rock night, too.
Yes.
I'm going to square that away.
But please check out at Butt Rock Night.
Yeah.
Everywhere, Instagram
memes.
Haven't Fred Durst repost y'all?
We've had a couple celebrities. That's been the wildest part. Fred Durst hit us up. We had Teddy Swims follows us.
What does Fred Durst hit you up? What does that mean?
No,
like to hang out?
No, he just reposted something. We've got a lot of reposts. It's like funny to go through the followers because there's so many, and I'll just late night go through and be like, oh, that guy's famous. Oh, he follows us. You start gathering all these people that are funny. Scott Stapp, it's taken a long time. We love Scott. Sometimes I think he gets the memes might, he thinks that we're making fun of him. We're not. Yeah. We're laughing with you. We love you.
I've seen Creed 3 times and I bought all the records.
Yeah.
Yeah. We're the best. We're the biggest fans on earth. It's like these memes are because we love you so much. And then literally 3 weeks ago, he commented an emoji on one of our posts. And that
was an eggplant emoji.
That would have been even
better. That would have been sick.
That would have been that's 1998, Scott. Yeah. that's different, Scott.
What emoji was it?
Yeah, it was like the smiley face, kind of like crooked eyed. It was a weird one because it was a very Scott Stapp emoji. Let's just say that
we're gonna be like reading this one emoji, like reading into it for like hours. Like, what does
all
he
right,
mean?
Let's look up all the things that this could mean.
Yeah. I don't even know. As long as he's not like screw this page, because and then another person that runs a page similar to ours, Super Gremlin?
Yeah.
She was like, well, he has blocked us.
Oh, no, that was Grunch.
Grunch rules. That's what it was. Yep. So I guess he's blocked people also. But we're not blocked. Please don't block us,
Scott. Please don't block us, Scott.
We love you, Scott. But yeah, it's like...
He's getting a collab request on this clip for sure. Yeah.
Come on, Scott. We love you. Wind dreaming.
Hey, didn't y'all go see Creed, or is that not happening yet?
I went to see Scott.
Yeah,
we have tickets for Creed.
We have tickets for Creed and Ascend in August, but I got to see kind of the warm-up tour. Chattanooga at the Signal went and saw Scott Stapp solo because he's been doing his solo stuff. So it was 15 bangers of Scott Stapp solo songs. Loved them. And then 4 of the hits at the end. And I was just sitting there. That was the first time I've seen him live. I think I saw him way, way back in like literally the 2003 or something. I was very young, but I was sitting there looking at my wife going, I'm just laughing, going like, he sounds perfect.
Yeah.
When you see a rock star coming back and he actually is a rock star and his vocals are just on point and the band's killing it, you just laugh and go, we're back, baby.
Yeah.
You're like, holy crap. Yeah. Like he's taking care of himself. He's in perfect vocal shape. You're like, because you've seen the videos where, you know, the road gets you. He's been through some stuff. Everybody's been through some stuff, but he's been through a lot of stuff. And cool to see him back, just back killing it. And it was one of the best rock shows I've ever seen. That was just solo. Mark Tremonti wasn't even there.
Right.
I mean, the band was amazing that he had filling in, but yeah, I'm so pumped for the Creed Summer 99 tour. Shout it out.
It's going to be sick. Yeah, can't Creed wait. Cruise we had to miss, RIP.
Yes. Maybe one day.
Yeah, we'll get to the Creed Cruise, or we'll just make another Creed Cruise happen.
I'll just do
or
our own cruise.
Just sing all the Creed songs.
We need to get big enough to just butt rock night cruise.
Yeah.
We'd probably be a little boat, though, but like we can get it done.
It's just a John boat.
Yeah, we'll take a dinghy out, you know?
It's just the three of us with like a 12-pack, and we're just fishing and like listening to Creed.
We're just in Percy Priest. Yeah. It's just me, you, and him, probably. That's the Creed
I feel piece. Like the goal is, what's that, like General Jackson boat?
Yes.
They have like dinner cruises on.
For the Opry? Yeah, they bring all the older Opry people in.
We gotta have butt rock on the freaking General Jackson. Yeah. Is that what it is, General Jackson?
Well, you could rent it out. I've been on the General Jackson for multiple different things, and so I've gone for like holiday parties and stuff like that. And there was a killing band there, so we can just get, you know, Grady and the boys and get them up there.
Get the killing band
on water.
Yeah.
Get some Zimas flowing.
On the water. We'll just call it a cruise, you know?
Buckets of Four Loko.
We'll call it Summer of 2025 cruise.
Not a bad idea. Yeah. Sponsored by Uber.
You heard it here first, folks. Yeah. Definitely sponsored by Uber. No one's driving to this.
No. We're not even having a parking lot for it. You have to Uber to establish.
You're not allowed to. You cannot have car keys if you come to this show. We're not allowing it.
We're leaving the car keys on land at your house.
Yeah. Butt rock, baby.
Here's what I will say about the butt rock account, why I think A, it works, and 2, it's gotten so big. Number 1, the audio clips. So being able to use the original audio songs means that anyone that listened to that audio clip on another video is getting served it, right?
Mm-hmm.
So just talking about the robots helping. And then 2 is they're fucking hilarious. So
I didn't think about that, though. Yeah, the music clips being the real one.
Because if you think about like how a song works, like Old 60 when Smoking a Light popped, right? Everybody was using Smoking a Light in their videos, right? So once you watch a video of Smoking a Light, you get served up more. It's the same thing with these fun Creed songs, right? Or fun Nickelback songs or fun Hinder songs. So once you watch one video with that Hinder song as the back of it, then you get fed all of the other ones. So that's part of how the algorithm works for Instagram.
That and just dumb memes.
Yeah.
Dumb Creed memes, baby.
I remember... Sometimes
it's a multi-billion-dollar business.
It really is.
Well, Brian makes like 99.5% of the memes, but every once in a while, Sam makes some too.
Sam makes some really good
that
ones.
That one they posted was
today was.
Oh
great.
My god! It's Leonardo DiCaprio and Rose, and it's like me when I find my cougar on the Creed cruise, like bringing her back to the hotel or whatever.
Oh, I haven't been able to share that one on the Butt Rock. I need,
so
I need
good.
To, yeah. Sam funny. Sam kills it too. Shout out Sam.
He does. We love you, Sam. But I remember like sometimes I'll be slightly baked at the house, and I'll like. Come across a meme and I'm like, sometimes I'll just send them to Brian to see if he thinks they're good, and sometimes I'm like, no, I'm making this myself, and then I like make
it's a
one.
Full one, yeah,
and I'm like, Brian, I think this is the best one I've ever made, and sometimes those get like 4,000 views, and other times they do really well.
You never know.
What you never know.
What I love is like it's wild because I'll be like, the computing power in these phones now, like the memes I used to be able to have to make in 2015, you could not do quickly. It was a whole
Photoshop.
Yeah. It was like a whole couple hours. I'll be like out at a concert or out at a bar with my wife, and I'll be like, ooh, I got an idea. Da, 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 and I'll do it within 5 minutes and post it. And it's like, whoa.
CapCut's wild.
Boom. Straight to the page.
I remember when I was running the Hickstape account, like I remember Reed being like, have you got into CapCut yet? And I was like, no. And I was like, what's that? He's like, oh, this is what everybody's doing now. And then I was like, oh, crap.
Is it for memes or what is it?
Yeah, basically it's like, it's an app. It's like an editing app. But part of the function of it is that you can have like basically if you took Hardy's head right there, you could cut that out of a video, just him, and then put it on top of another video or static image. And then you could put a meme on that.
Computer stuff.
It's
insane because the amount that it used to take to Photoshop someone out of a photo, and it just does it with one thing.
In a click. So it makes the idea that you have executable extremely quickly.
And most of the time, like people use them for professional reasons. Like it started with me where I was like, wait a minute, I can like put my friend in a weird situation and then send him this picture. Because that's how it started with me. I'm like, I'm going to put you in a wild situation.
Yeah. Well, that's what I would do with like bootleg Photoshop. I would like be like MS Paint Photoshop, you know, like on my phone, there's like taking someone's face, throwing it on another thing.
I love bad Photoshop.
Yeah, I do bad Photoshop on purpose.
Is the greatest.
Yeah, I want it to look like it's not real. Like that's the thing with like these AI pictures. They're too real, which is funny. But it's different funny of, oh my God, this is so fake that I see it, you know? Right. Like, that's the brand that I think's hilarious.
I just never knew there would be a genre of it. Like, we're not the only page doing it. We're not the only page having success with this type of memes and the 2000 Rock thing. And it's like, we're like a whole little crew. There's like three or four of us kind of getting it. We're all friends.
Well, with the Raise Rowdy page, I mean, back before I lived in town, it was heavy meme driven.
Yeah.
Because I didn't have a lot of other content, you know, and I could make memes without my face on it, and it was easy. But now that we have so many show posters and we have so many podcast clips, the memes don't hit as hard as they used to. When it was really just mostly memes, they would hit harder. So I'm thinking about starting like a page dedicated to like the largest personalities in the country space, the things that are kind of now but possibly memeable, as opposed to like where we kind of like did with like older rock, you know, because there's big personalities. Like imagine if you did a bunch of memes about Coe Wetzel. It's kind of, you could figure those out very quickly.
Oh boy.
Yeah. Same thing with like Zach Bryan. You know what I mean? There's things that you can figure out very quickly. The guys that are like the biggest, like wildest things, because that's what we're doing with the Butt Rock account. We're taking Scott Stapp, Fred Durst, and those are the wildest guys that were in that scene, you know? And that's why a Nickelback, like Chad, you know, it's like those were the guys that were the excess, right? Yeah. That's why you can make memes of them and they're hilarious. It's like, well, we could do that with country.
Nikki's teaching meme theory 101 right now.
This is a class.
But what's just cool is like if you're an artist in Nashville, all this stuff is, you can, it's a cheat code for promoting yourself.
100%. Yeah. Like half of what I do, the meme world of the Butt Rock is what I did as an artist, what I still do as an artist.
Yeah.
And back to what you said of like, not just saying like, get this song. It's like, do something to get people in. It doesn't have to be corny.
Yeah.
It doesn't have to be really like hardcore about it, but give them something and not just take from them.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I feel like that's the biggest thing.
Yes.
You can't just ask from people and be like, pre-save, 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 and then be like, all right, I just want you. I don't care about you, anything else. It's like you need something. It's a relationship.
It is.
Like anything else.
Yep.
And if there's any younger artists out there, that's the key, like to me, like doing everything like that.
Yeah. Give them what they want.
give the people.
Even if they don't know that they won.
And put broccoli hair on people. That's funny.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
The kids like that.
Yeah, they do.
The kids love it. What, you got any more shows coming up other than playing for us in Key West at Island
Key
Dogs?
Key West. We'll do some summer gigs back in Virginia and stuff. Yeah. Trying to book a little more. It's in late August and stuff like that. Some smaller festivals and stuff.
Sick.
Got a promoter in Virginia that's kind of managing me up in that area. So getting hooked up with
You're getting another manager, dude?
This guy. Don't tell James. Yeah. He's helping me out. I've never had it. Again, it's been only me. So it's good to have someone at least in the area. He's a bigger country promoter in Virginia. So I've been able to get some opening gigs to where,
because
usually it's just been me trying to scheme my way in. It's always what it is. Like, hey man, love to open for this guy. Let me do this. So it's good to have a little help and along the way. So we'll have some few up there, probably DC and then North Carolina and stuff.
Cool.
But yeah, man.
Yeah. Well, thanks for hopping on the podcast formally with
as
us.
As always.
Dude.
Love you, bro.
I love you guys. Kurt.
I'm going to make us do some butt rock content after
this. We have to.
That's why I brought that giant beer bong.
Appreciate it.
We're not going to drink it. We're just going to look at it and make fun.
Maybe.
You never know, I guess. All right, guys. Well, I'm Nikki T.
I'm Kurt Ozon.
This is Brian Fraser.
Brian Fraser.
And we'll see you in the front row.
Fade out.
Fade out.